We have had home for the holidays, Sharon mentioned, and God is doing things. Prayers are being answered in a miraculous way, either directly or indirectly. On Tuesday night, we was down at Ken's, and I was sharing with Lori and Willie three things that we prayed about. We spent the whole night praying. And three things we prayed about was answered within 24 hours. And we saw the start of other prayers being answered. And then Sharon shared a prayer answered. And so I'm just thrilled about what God is doing. Amen? Are y'all? I have no idea why our pastor is not up here preaching today instead of me. But I'm just trying to follow him. Because I'm under his authority, and if you don't believe that, you ask Dawn, and she'll tell you I am. That's right. We're going to share with Revelation 6, because that's where we're at. But while you're turning there, I want to tell you some things that is going on in my heart that I've discussed with Ken at length. We've had several conversations about what to do after home for the holidays. Is there something more? There was a time, this was about 13 years ago now, my cousin Connie Ginn, our cousin Connie, called me and she said, would you come and do a Bible study at my house? And I told her, and you'd had to have known the situation around my life at the time, but I told her, I said, I will if as long as you don't invite nobody. And that's what I told her. I said, don't invite nobody and I'll come, you know. And just for her family was what was intended. And we got there that night and there was like 20 people in her living room. And so we knew that we couldn't do that. Well, Ken was there and Ken said, let's just go over to the shop. Well, we did a Bible study on Friday nights for, it lasted about 12 years. And at the beginning of that Bible study, and Carl will remember this, We kind of stated a purpose, and the purpose for the Bible study wasn't necessarily to learn the Word of God, but it was to equip us to pray. That's what it was. That was the purpose behind it. And so, me and Ken's been talking about what is God saying about after home for the holidays. What should we do? Is there something left undone that we need to do? And the reason this kind of came about in me is because I have a passion for people to learn the Word of God. I have a passion. Lori was sharing about Little Cross and opening his Bible. Can I tell you, learning the Word of God is a lifelong experience. I can't even begin to overstate that. And I want to just tell you this. If you approach the Bible to learn it like you would a history book, you will never learn it. If you approach the Bible to learn it like a math book, you'll never learn it. If you look at the Bible, everybody say, I'm listening. If you look at the Bible and you open it up and all you see is words on a page, you will never learn it. It is a supernatural book. It's a living book. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So you cannot approach the Word of God without approaching the living Son of God. That should knock you on your heels a little bit. Okay, so to understand the Bible takes more than, it's not an intellectual thing. It is a supernatural transfer of revelation from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. I'm going to give you three things about that because it's important for all of us going forward. This may seem like an odd thing to talk about around Christmas, but it'll make sense here in a minute, okay? Three things to talk about concerning your relationship with the Word of God. these three terms will set a perspective for you. The first term is inspiration. It's a term used in the Bible. In the book of Job, it's there. Let me tell you what inspiration means in the literal language of the Word of God, the Hebrew language and the Greek language. The term inspiration means this: the breath of God. Now, in your spirit, not your intellect, I want you to think about this. The Bible is literally God breathing on you. That's inspiration. Okay, here's another term in reference to the Word of God that you need to understand. Not just inspiration, but illumination. It means this: when you open it up, it must be light to you. It's got to illuminate you to a truth. Now, can I tell you why that doesn't happen, why that supernatural transfer doesn't take place? Here's why. Most people, when they open up the Bible, they have a preconceived idea of what they're looking for before they ever open it up. Did you hear me? That preconceived idea comes with a multitude of factors. For example, how you were raised, the environment of which you were raised, your personality, your expression. That forms opinions and ideas. When you form opinions and ideas, you can open up the Bible and make it say anything that you want it to say. Did you hear what I just said? Let me float an idea at you and just see, this is hypothetical. I'll get in trouble for this, but let me float it out there to you anyway. How many of you would love the idea that, hypothetically speaking, if there was no hell, who would vote for that? Anybody here? Come on. Are y'all too religious to be honest? There's not a person in here that wouldn't say, I would love the idea that there's no hell. Can I tell you that is a doctrine that some even preach today? Well, how do they get there? Well, they do things like this. They open up the Bible with that preconceived idea of if God is a God of love, why would he send anybody to hell? Sounds logical. So you open up the Bible and you find scriptures like this. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you formulate this idea that who are we to argue against the will of God? So apparently there is no hell. The sad reality is illumination has escaped that individual and no longer is truth being illuminated to them because they're blocking it by their own ideas. I go back to this thing of when you take a verse out of the Bible, you better understand the whole Bible in order to understand that one verse. It's got to harmonize with all of the scripture. That's part of illumination. So you've got inspiration, that's God's breath. The Word of God was inspired. Paul writes it to Timothy this way, that the Word is inspired and is profitable for all of these things, doctrine, reproof, correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, Paul says. So inspiration is there to convince us that the Word of God is divinely inspired. Man didn't write the Bible. God inspired through the vessel of human capacity to pin down God's message, though they didn't even understand what they were writing themselves. How many of you heard what I just said? So we've got to have inspiration, you've got to have illumination. Here's the third word to understand Scripture. It is revelation. So we need the Bible to be more than just illuminated to us. We need it revealed to us. You remember when Jesus was asking the disciples, who do y'all think I am? Who does people say that I am? And who do you say I am? Peter stood up and he said, some of the apostles said, well, you're Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets You're this. Peter stood up and said, I'll tell you who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. You know what Jesus told him? He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Intellect is not what brought you to that conclusion. Just mere illumination didn't even bring you to that conclusion. But true revelation from the Father brought you to that conclusion. Let me tell you, when you get a revelation from God, here's normally the way it works. You won't be able to explain it to anyone else, but you'll know it's true. That's when you can probably say, yeah, there's something being revealed here. Now, be careful during that time, because can I tell you that evil spirits can reveal things to you as quick as the Holy Spirit can. It depends on what you're tuned into as to what you're going to hear. Everybody say amen to that. So now, what does that have to do with the book of Revelation? All right, listen to this closely. If you take three terms, inspiration, illumination, and revelation, and you apply that to your understanding of the Word of God, you get to the book of Revelation, and here's the conclusion. Here's a big principle that kind of undergirds those three terms. Here's the principle. Watch this. When God makes a difference, you have to make a distinction. Now, how do I back that principle up in the Word of God? Here's what Paul told Timothy. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Watch. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if Paul tells Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth, stands to reason we could wrongly divide the word of truth. So our dividing of the word has to coincide with where God makes a distinction and a division. Let me tell you how this can go against your own opinions and your own philosophy. That's a better term, is your own philosophy. I'm going to give you a logical statement, and I'm not asking you to agree with it. I'm just saying I want you to hear me out, okay? So that you can understand kind of the premise of where we're going at. There are a lot of people that I've heard make this statement. I would love to have a church like they had in Acts chapter 2. Let's get back to a Acts chapter 2 church. Here's the problem. If you do that, then you miss what Acts chapter 9 does. I've heard a lot of people say, let's get back to the way it was at the beginning of the church. Can I tell you, the scribes and the Pharisees was under that same philosophical idea. And that's what crucified Christ. The scribes and the Pharisees were saying, let's get back to the law of Moses. And Jesus said, wait a minute, no, I didn't come to destroy the law, come to fulfill it. I came to fulfill that law. Jesus was saying, I am the fulfillment of it. What was happening? God was sending a division. That division was so strong, it divided time. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, listen, here's the importance and the significance of this. What I'm telling you, these are what some would call hermeneutics. It is the science of interpretation. Okay? And so now I gave Ken, I'll let Ken borrow a book that I've cherished, because this book has just big principles of interpretation in it. And the more you learn those rules of interpretation and apply them to the Word of God, the more understanding you can get, the more illumination you can get. And it sets you up not to know something, but for something to be revealed to you. That's what it sets you up for. So Ken and I were talking about, do we need to do maybe a study on just how to study the Word? And then we was talking about, you know, where do you do it? Do we do it down there? Do we do it up here? We're trying to figure out, you know, exactly where does God want us placed for these last days? The one thing that I know is I want to be around people that's hungry for the Word. No need to teach if there's nobody there to be taught. Hello. I've heard a ton of people say, boy, if you'd just start something, I'd show up. They never show up. They never come, you know. So you find some people want to learn, and that's who you hang out with. And that's what we're kind of trying to figure out, what God is saying in the midst of all this. But let me ask you this. How many of you truly want to understand the Word of God? Now, you take everything that I said, and we go to the book of Revelation, and here's what you learn. The book of Revelation is full of divisions. If you don't divide it the way God does and make distinctions where God makes distinctions, you won't understand it. Let me give you an example. 21 judgments in the book of Revelation and 3 woes. There's a division. The woes and the judgments. So you ask some questions. Where does that fit together in the overall piece of that book? Let me give you another division. Out of the 21 judgments, there's 7 seals, 7 bowls, and 7 trumpets, right? But the first 4 seals is represented by horses. Why would God do that? Listen to me, listen. Every time you see something in the Bible, it's not there by accident. Neither is it there by mere poetry. It's there because God wants to say something to you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So as we journey into Revelation, and we're here in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we'll probably be there a while. Let's read that passage, and then we're going to get on into this study. Everybody say, I'm listening. Revelation 6, 1 and 2, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. I'm going to throw a slide up here, and here's what Revelation 6, 1 and 2 gives to us. It gives us the purpose, the power, and the person. Okay, now that's what Revelation 6, 1 and 2 is about. There is a purpose, there is a power, and there is a person. Now, just for a second, listen to this. The purpose, extremely important. Can I tell you, this one word plagues me more than any other word in the English language. It sidetracks me, it distracts me, and it blesses me all at the same time. Here's why, and I'm telling you, listen, I'm just weird. How many of you know I'm weird? Joey Gregg, you should shout glory. As much as I've picked on you, I just acknowledge that I'm weird, and all you're doing is laughing. You ought to be running the aisles and shouting and hollering. Purpose makes me weird. Here's why. There is absolutely, I promise you this is the truth, there is nothing that goes on in the course of my day that I don't ask, what is the purpose of this? And it runs me so crazy that I can't move forward until I find that purpose. I'm telling you the truth. I've had cancer twice, 2 surgeries, both times. Can I tell you, I was more intrigued by the purpose than I was what was actually happening. Now, I know that sounds weirdo, okay? But this last time at Baptist Hospital, I was looking as hard as I could. That was part, I think it's part of the healing process for me. Okay, I really do. But the whole time in the hospital, I'm praying, God, show me purpose. There's got to be a reason. I know there's a purpose. Okay, if the purpose was for me to die, I've already lost that purpose because I lived. Right? So, okay, I was prepared for that purpose, but now there's got to be another purpose. Okay, so I was looking for the purpose. And with every person that walked in that room, I was saying, is this the purpose? When that nurse come in, she was the spiritualist, and God said, just say my name, just say my name. So I said his name 2 or 3 times, got his name into the conversation. Before that that day was over, I got to pray with that nurse, and she was going back to church. And I thought, worth it. If this is the purpose, worth it. I was hooking everything to purpose. Now watch this, listen. Not just on big things, but on every small thing. I had an encounter with a guy I hadn't seen in 20 years the other day at the grocery store. Couldn't figure out why in the world he was standing there. Why was he there? And can I tell you, most of the time, if I see people I know, I do this. But this time there was no running. He was standing right in front of my truck looking at me. Hadn't seen him in 25 years. And I said, well, I better get out. So I got out of the truck, spent 30 minutes talking to him. And the whole time I'm saying, okay, Lord, did I come to the grocery store for this purpose? Now you say, you're carrying that too far. Let me tell you something. God does nothing without purpose. Listen to this verse. Everybody perk your ears up and say, I'm listening one more time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord according to His purpose. Are you with me? So even in what we just read in Revelation 6, there's purpose. There is also power released in these verses. We're going to examine what kind of power that is. Now let me tell you something about power. The term power in the Greek language is the word dunamis. It means dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite from. How many of you believe God's got dynamite power? Matter of fact, His dynamite power is stronger than any nuclear warhead that exists on planet Earth. How many of you believe that? This is kind of hidden from a lot of people. Did you know there has been missiles fired at Israel that had they have attained their target, it would have obliterated the capital, but sudden winds came about and blew it off course out into the ocean. Y'all didn't hear me. Some of you don't believe me. Some of you got faith. Here's what happened. God went... You know why? Because nothing's going to happen but what God doesn't know ahead of time in His prearranged sovereign will. In the very second that God says it, that's when it's going to happen, not until. Same thing's true in your life. So there's purpose and there's power released. That power released in your life can either come from the Holy Spirit or it can come from an evil spirit. Everybody say amen. Amen. And there's always a person behind it. It's either God or it's the devil or it's you. Now, how many of you believe in spiritual warfare? I believe it. I believe it. Can I tell y'all something, though? Can I let y'all in on something for me? You may think differently about you, but I'm telling you for me. There's not been any, to my knowledge, council meetings that's went on in hell that says, how are we going to deal with Jeff Rowland? Do you know why I know that? Because Satan don't have to do that. There's enough bad stuff in my own flesh that I'm not sure I've graduated from that yet. I'll give you just a small example. Our pastor preached a message that if you listened to it last week, it should have convicted, challenged, and changed you all at the same time. It did me. I'm sitting over here, our pastor's preaching, and God said, I want you to fast this process of thought. He preached on the mind. How many of y'all even remember it? That, I can tell y'all are under spiritual warfare because the enemy stole it from you before it took root. In me, it took root fast. I mean, it was fast. And immediately God said, I want you to fast this idea, this process of thought. The next few days, this past week actually, the whole week, I've had one of the biggest struggles that I've had, and I can't tell you how long, trying to be obedient to that word. But I know it's a word from God. I also know I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be more than a conqueror. And at the end of this struggle, at the end of this battle, I'm going to be more conformed into the image of Christ. And I can't wait till that happens. Amen. Both inspiration, illumination, and revelation took place in my life last Sunday as a result of that message. The person behind it wasn't Joe Barrett. It was the Lord Jesus. So in everything in your life, you're connected to these three things: purpose, power, and a person. Now, everybody say, I'm listening. I've already kept you too long. But since I've already kept you too long, a little while longer is not going to hurt you. Okay? Now, but hear me. Revelation 6 begins the time of Jacob's trouble. It begins the time that we know of as the tribulation. It is an event yet future. Hold it. Do y'all remember the principle? When God speaks a word, it becomes immediately active, immediately operational, all the way until its fulfillment. Hello? God dropped this word on the planet Earth in AD 96. Some would argue between AD 60 and AD 90. I think it was about AD 90, AD 96 when God dropped the word into John, inspired John. John received the revelation and he writes for us the illuminated product of what was divinely inspired and revealed to him on the Isle of Patmos. At that moment, that word became immediate and it became operational on planet Earth, and it will remain so all the way until its fulfillment. What we're reading in literal terms is the fulfillment of what we are now living in spiritual terms. So it's practical and it's applicable. All right? I showed you from Daniel 9, 24 through 27, Daniel's 70 weeks, 69 weeks of which have been fulfilled. You and I are living in the interval, the break, the space between the 69th week and the 70th week. Daniel describes it quite plainly. In Daniel 9:24, he gives the purpose for the tribulation period. I want you to see what it is. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, I'm going to read it to you. And here's what's said. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, first, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. There is a sixfold purpose to the tribulation. God does nothing without purpose. So you need to know what God's purpose is for the tribulation period. Now here's why that's important. I've got to spoil some ideas right at this moment. I've got to try to get rid of some fleshly perspective, because I've heard this mentioned before. People have said, oh, you pre-tribulation rapture people, oh, you're just into an escapism mentality and you're just trying to get out. How is that fair for God to rain down wrath on the earth and you miss it just because you're the church? Watch this. Here, let me spoil your ideas, all right, just for a minute. You're not the one that sets the standard for what's fair. That's first thing. And as far as me being into escapism, I admit it, I am. You know what got me saved? I wanted to escape hell.
Amen. Absolutely.
Let me tell you what the Lord says about escape. He says that you'll be tempted and tried like everybody is, but with every temptation, I'll make for you a way of an escape. So apparently God's into it too. Everybody say amen to that. So this sixfold purpose of the literal fulfillment of a time yet future in the book of Revelation is to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up, complete the vision, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel prophesied of that in Daniel 9:24, and the time of Jacob's trouble, or the tribulation period, fulfills this very purpose. At the end of the tribulation, guess what happens? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has been crowned king, comes back from heaven to the earth, and the kingdom is set up on the earth, and you and I are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Sin no more. The curse lifted. See, it's in the book. Did y'all just hear? I read it to you right here. The sixfold purpose. I want you to go back now and let's read Revelation 6:1, because here's the message. Justin Laurie's here. Y'all glad Justin Laurie's here? Better that Lori's here than Justin, but if you got to take one, you got to take the other. I'm so glad they're here. And we were back there talking, and I told Justin, knows he's been hearing me preach since he was 15. Yeah, so I mean, 15 years old, and he was as ugly then as he is now. I mean, it was pitiful. But he said, my introductions is always long, and I never get to the message. He's right. I'm just now getting to there. Revelation 6:1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts said, come and see. Did y'all hear that? Come and see. I told you that when God dropped this word onto the earth, it becomes immediate and operational at that time. I told you that the beginning, at the very beginning, inspiration, illumination, revelation. That's what it takes to understand the word. That's what it takes to understand what's going on in your life. I tell you, and I'm telling you now, there's purpose to everything that's going on in your life. How many has ever struggled with depression? Discouragement. Sickness. Weariness. Watch this. How many of you has ever struggled with frustration? How many of you have ever struggled with yourself? What about self-condemnation? Self-loathing? Has anybody ever struggled with this? I say this all the time. Lord, I don't know how you get anything done with people like me. I mean, am I that big of a mess, Lord, and still you use me? Anybody out there ever struggle with that? There's purpose behind everything that's going on in your life. I'm going to say this. You're not going to fully understand me. But you'll understand some. God don't waste a second of your depression. God don't waste an instant of your discouragement. You're not hearing me. All of that unbiblical thought process you have about yourself, God don't waste none of it. He uses it to conform you more into the image of Christ. Every once in a while, you'll be reminded of it, but you'll only be reminded of it as a reference to the display of God's power. Hello? I've said this 1,000 times. 1,000 times. It breaks my heart. This part breaks my heart. I told Haley, she'll slap me. I may have said this before, I'm not sure. Okay. Then I have permission to say this. Apparently, since I've already said it, I'm just merely repeating what's been said in the past. me and Haley was sitting on a tailgate of the pickup truck, and I told her, I said, Haley, you don't want to marry me. Don't marry me. I did. I told her, don't marry me. Because I know how my life has been up to this point, and I feel this call of God, and I have to embrace that. And that comes with an overload of warfare that's going to come against you. And I don't want that for you. I also was suspicious with all of her leg surgeries, what God was doing in her. Now listen to me. You call me stupid or whatever. But the first time I heard her pick a guitar and sing a song, I wept. Not because it was beautiful. That was part of it. But I know what it costs to write a song. Y'all are not hearing me. God didn't waste a second of her heartbreak. God didn't waste an instant of her depression. When she wrote the song, she had it all planned out. All of her goals and dreams, she knew exactly where she would be 10 years from now, she writes. Till she learned, he's still working on me. I'm just a work in progress. God didn't waste a second of her depression. Now, here's what God is inviting us to do this morning. I'm finishing. Everybody say amen. I'm not even going to show you the slide. I'm just going to say this. You know what God's saying to you right now? Come and see. Some will take him up on his invitation. Some won't. If you don't take him up on his invitation, revelation will be blocked. Illumination won't come. The Bible will still be to you just a book. You'll read it as if there's just words on a page. But to those of you who takes God up on his invitation and you hear the voice that sounds like thunder ringing inside of you that says, hey, come and see. You take him up on his invitation, you'll see the Word of God as God breathed it out. The Lord will say to you, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. You'll begin to understand why the depression had to come. You'll see the purpose behind it. You'll see the power that's going to be released on what God shows you, even about yourself. Uh-oh. And then, pray tell, if someone takes God up on his invitation, come and see what I'm doing at the Grace Place. Come and see. Very possible you may see yourself with your hands lifted high to the Lord, praising Him and exalting the Savior because He's the one that picked you up out of your depression, out of your loneliness, out of your betrayal and abandonment. And you may exuberantly begin to praise God if you just come and see. All those invitations are all through the Word of God where He says, come and taste of me and see that I'm good. Here, John is saying this, I saw what I saw because there was a voice in heaven that said, John, come and see. Now, are y'all listening? I'm going to give you a simple verse. I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. But He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Revelation tied to illumination, coming from inspiration, flows into yourself, and you then can see what cannot be seen, hear what cannot be heard, and feel what cannot be felt no other way. All of the preaching in the world can't do for you what 1 second in the presence of God can do. I stand here a miracle before you, and you know that. Do you know I ain't supposed to be preaching like this? Right now I'm still supposed to be in a wheelchair. And I'm up walking around. I drove a truck this week. Somebody better shout right there. I'm telling you. Thank you. Listen to me. I'm a miracle. What Satan meant for evil, God used for good. He had an expiration date tied to my toe, and the Lord yanked it off. And you know what God was doing through that surgery? He was saying, "Hey, Jeff, come and see." You say, "Boy, that's an awful harsh way." Let me tell you, I'd go through it all over again for 1 second in the presence of God. You don't believe that, but it's the truth. Just for one encounter with the Son of God. To dispense into me some revelation with purpose and power. To do away with my person, that I'd be swallowed up in the person of Jesus Christ. Just hello. Ain't that what you want? What I told you this morning is how you learn the Word of God. Anything short of that won't work. You'll just be a verse of the day on your phone kind of Bible guy. That ain't going to get you no depth. And can I tell you this? Without depth, with what's coming ahead of us, you're going to be ill-prepared. And you'll run into a crisis of faith. You'll even doubt there is a God. And you'll doubt what He can do. And you'll remain in darkness with no illumination. And no ability to have the revelation of the Spirit. How many of you heard what I said? So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. This is where we get serious. What you don't realize is the way you respond here tracks what God does in my life and yours. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, how many of you here would say, "Boy, I'd like to know the Word of God at that level, at the revelation level"? Just hold your hands up. You got to be serious about it now. Don't, you know, see, it's a commitment. Because we use the term Bible study as like this little thing. I don't know. It's a little, it don't mean nothing to us anymore. So I'm going to just ask you at this point if you would consider that the study of the Word of God is a call to a way of life. It's the Word of God that changes your life. So, here's my prayer. To those of you that want the Scriptures to be illuminated to you, and you want to live in divine revelation of the Lord and of the Spirit, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. Just stand. You know, our commitments to the Lord, I believe this, God honors it whether we do or not. So what you're doing is you're entering into a covenant. with the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, here I am. Fill me with your word. So I'm going to pray a prayer and then y'all do. Father, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and through the infilling and indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit, bring cleansing to our minds. Cleanse our minds of every thought. Oh, dear Jesus. Every thought. Wipe away every picture and every movie in our minds of our past. Lord, we need healing in our minds. That's why our hearts are sick and why people's growing weary. So deep clean our minds. Do a delete in our Lord, you've done that for me before. I'm asking that you do a delete in people's minds, that our past truly be gone, so that we can be filled with Holy Spirit power and walk in revelation and illumination of your word, that your purpose would be fulfilled and released in our life. We acknowledge that we're sinners. We've come short of your glory many times. Ain't nobody here worthy, but Lord, you're the righteous one. So Lord, we commit ourselves now as students of your word. Dear God in heaven, hear that, please. You have put intercessors in this church. I pray that they'll intercede. You've put teachers in this church. I pray they'll teach. But God, not teach of ourselves, but teach from the power of your Holy Spirit, and place a hunger in people's hearts for the Word of God. Place that hunger. Jesus, 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 change our life. Change our life, Lord.